This is the Jabberjaw Podcast Network.
Still sober, feeling great. How's everybody doing? My name is Shane. Welcome to Lead Singer Syndrome, a podcast where I talk to other lead singers about what it's like to be the front man of a band. And today we have a great show, maybe the best show yet, dare I say it. Adam Lazara from Taking Back Sunday. He is here. So great to talk to him. I have so much respect for Taking Back Sunday and everything they've done for, you know, what has it been, 15 years? Everything they've done, and of course, I'm a big fan of the band myself, so it was terrific to talk to him over Skype. And really, this is one when I started the podcast, this was a name I really, really wanted to get, and it was cool, you know, it was really easy. I just had, you know, my people talk to his people, and boom, we set up the call. So it's fantastic. He's got so much going on with family life, and I know he had a little bit of a solo project, so I asked him about that. And of course, Taking Back Sunday, that I guess they're gearing up for a new record right now. So great conversation with him. And huge news for me, I have finally launched my solo project. It's called River Oaks. The EP is out now. It's a 7-inch vinyl, or there's, of course, the digital EP, which is available on iTunes and Amazon and Spotify and Apple Music and all that shit. And if you want to order the 7-inch, it's available from riserecords.com if you live in the U.S. or anywhere else in the world. And if you live in Canada, we have a special color available from newdamagerecords.com. So check out my new stuff. There's a video on YouTube for Let You Down, which is my new track. I was this close to playing it right now, but I think that's going a little too far. So I'm just going to make sure that you guys go check it out on YouTube. It's called Let You Down, and my solo project is called River Oaks. I'm sure over the coming weeks I'll have more and more news, so I'll fill you in on that. But man, I just launched it on Friday, and it's a scary thing, you know? Putting yourself out there, there's no one else to blame. It's my thing. It's my songs. So if people think it sucks or it's no good, it's all on me. So it was a very scary thing, but the feedback has been so positive and so overwhelmingly, tremendously great. Thank you for everybody that's checked it out so far. And if you haven't, get on that. RiverOaksMusic.com. Check out the first single called Let You Down. If you like it, all I'm asking you for is $2.99. That gets you the whole 3-song EP, and it would really, really help me out. Other things I want to plug, of course, hit me up, leadsingersyndrome@gmail.com. Let me know what you thought of this episode. If you have any suggestions for future episodes, I love hearing that, of course. We got the hate line, if you're not so happy, 657-666-HATE. I know I said I was going to roll some episodes, but I want to do it right, so I'm going to try for next week. It might not happen, but the hate line is open, so give it a call. And also, Silverstein, we're going on tour. Just because I'm starting the solo project does not mean Silverstein is slowing down. That is 100% not happening. Silverstein is as strong and as busy as ever. So please go to silverstein.soundrink.com. We're going on tour very soon across Canada and then the U.S. It starts at the end of February. We got VIP packages and tickets available for that. And as a bonus, tonight on AXS TV, I think it's on cable, but the website is axs.tv, and we're actually premiering a documentary of the 10-year anniversary of Discovering the Waterfront, which we shot last year while we were on tour. And it came out awesome. Our friend Wyatt that was out with us on tour, you may have met him. He did a great job. So please check that out as well. All right. Thanks for listening to all my plugs. We'll get to the good stuff. Here it is, my conversation with Adam Lazara of Taking Back Sunday. Hey, man.
Sorry, I was a few minutes late. Like, I was just sitting, like I opened up the app and I was like, Like, oh God, none of this looks familiar.
I know. That kind of shit happens to me all the time. I literally had to install Logic again, and it like, you know, when the like little thing is downloading, you're like, damn it, 5 minutes left, but my interview's in 2 minutes.
Yeah, it's like, come on. There's that happens. Things are just getting updated so quickly now. Like even like with my computer, I don't have the newest operating system because I can't run my Pro Tools on the newer one unless I upgrade the Pro Tools, which is like, then you got to sign up for the subscription service. And I'm just like, come on.
I know. It's exactly the same with me. Every like 2 years when we go to make another record or whatever, and I'm like, oh, my shit's all old and nothing works. And you know, but let's jump in, man. It's great to have you.
Yeah. Thanks for taking the time. You know, it's interesting because there's times kind of in like those limbo times, you know, like when you're traveling and stuff and like I won't have much to do.
Yeah.
So I'll be like checking like the Twitter feeds and stuff. And I've actually noticed that like a couple different people have had tagged us together and then said, oh, you should have this guy on there. And then so when Jillian asked, I thought, yeah, that sounds great. So
that's awesome. I like this. The show's been going really well so far. I've only done I put up episode number 9 today, so it's still pretty new. I'm still sort of finding my sea legs a little bit, but yeah. it is different for me from my perspective, just because I've done it like, you know, for so long, like you have. So it's like sometimes I have conversations with people, and it's like, man, like if only there was a fly, like if someone could be a fly on the wall to hear this, it would be so interesting. So that's kind of why I started it up, and it's great to have you on the show, man. Like this is awesome.
Yeah, man.
So I guess, how was your Christmas?
Great, great. There was it was a little bit hectic just because we do these shows in New Jersey, these two shows right around the holidays. You know, we're trying to make it like a annual thing, and this was the second year. Last year we did it right after Christmas, which was got a little difficult with the travel and all that, and then so this year we did it right before Christmas, but then so we did that, and then like the whole family went up. Like my wife has a vintage kind of clothing store online, so she came up and set that there, so we had the kids, and then we stayed an extra day to go take them around the city. And then like we got home, we're home for a day. And then like we drove out to my dad's, and then we went to my mom's, and then we're home for like two or three days. And then there was just people coming and going from in and out of town. So I feel like now the dust is finally settling, but all that to say, it was real fun.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, you guys were doing some, I saw that online. You were just setting up some kind of like garage sale / show, like to sell. Was that like at Starland Ballroom? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, like basically how we've done it so far, and like how we'll continue to do it. Like, because like I feel like the first year we were like, all right, let's see how this goes, and then so we kind of knew how to set things up a little better this year. But it's pretty much like we play that Friday night, and then on Saturday, Starland Ballroom has been really awesome. Like they let us open during the day, and we try to get just like a whole lot of local vendors, you know, and stuff. So it's kind of like a pop-up market.
Yeah.
And then we like play acoustic during the day, and then they magically clear everything out and then they open doors for the show the second night.
Super cool. Yeah. We did our first kind of Christmas show, here in Toronto too.
Oh, nice.
It's called Stay Warm Festival. So it's something we hope to do like every year. And we did it too, like before. We did it on like the 20th, I think.
Yeah. Right before.
Yeah. Right before. And that's the idea because, you know, like a lot of people are just kind of getting home for Christmas. So it's kind of nice to have that, you know, see everybody and friends and family, you know, on the holidays.
Yeah.
So it's good. Yeah. But I guess you have two kids now, two boys.
Yeah. 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 Keaton and Asa.
So Christmas is like the sun, the moon, and the stars to them, isn't it?
Oh yeah, man. Well, it's like funny, like last year, maybe 2 years ago now, Keaton was, like on Christmas morning, he had like slept in, like, and we were shocked, you know, we thought he'd be up like right away, but he woke up at, so, and by sleeping in, I mean, he woke up around like 8:30, and then, was, and then, but he just woke up crying, and it was Christmas morning, and so I went up there, you know, I'm trying to talk with him and figure out what's wrong, and finally he's just like tears, and he's like, I slept through Christmas, and he was like freaking out. So just the cutest thing, you know, like heartbreaking, but really cute. So
at 8:30, so like, 8:30 is sleeping through Christmas.
Yeah, that's right. Amazing. Well, and then of course I wanted to be like, no, you didn't miss it, man. It hasn't even started yet. So, but yeah, like it's a pretty big deal. And then like, so this is the first year where Asa kind of got it too. Cause he just turned two not too long ago. So he's still like, it's still like, I don't think he's grasped the whole thing yet, but Keaton's a really good older brother. So he kind of tries to explain stuff to him.
So what's their age difference? A couple years?
7 and 2, so 5 years.
Oh, cool. That's good. Yeah. That's kind of a nice age difference, I think. Like my sister is 6 years older than me. So there's always this like gap where, you know, I thought she was really, really cool, but we could still hang out without having like the same friends and stuff. So it was always a good thing. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, like two, and they get like, well, I mean, things change throughout the years, I'm sure. But right now, like, they're just really, like, they're really good with one another, you know?
And, yeah.
Like, Asa really looks up to Keaton, and Keaton, like, is real gentle with him. So it's just real nice.
That's great, man. So do you have any New Year's resolutions?
Man, it's funny for me, I just kind of have the same one every year. And that's just, like, do better, like, try to be better, you know, like, with everything, you know? Be it like from personal stuff with the band, like all that. So that's kind of what I try to focus on. I mean, and have it last throughout the year, you know?
I guess so. I mean, shit. I went this year. I went real hard. I decided I was going to not drink for the whole month of January.
Oh yeah.
And I guess that's a thing in the UK. I didn't really know when I did it. They call it like dry January. And I think like millions of people do it or something. So I'm going for it, and I'm on, what is it, day 11 right now?
Yeah, nice.
And I'm feeling pretty good. It was the first like 3 days were pretty rough.
It's especially you're like around New Year's. That's kind of like prime.
Well, New Year's. New Year's. New Year's got wild, dude. New Year's that was part of the reason. I woke up on January 1st and was like, you know what? Let's see if I can go a month. And I've gone 11 days, which is probably the longest I've gone without drinking in at least like probably 8 or 9 years.
Dang. Well, like it too. So, I mean, our lifestyle kind of lends itself towards that.
Oh yeah, I know. Well, shit, man. Like I'm in my apartment right now, and like my girlfriend's at work, and like there's days when I'm just like hanging out. I don't know. And I'm like, I don't know. I'll have like a glass of wine, whatever, you know?
And, like I'm a grown up. I can do things like that.
Exactly.
If I want to.
Right. but now I'm like, you know what? I'm going to dial it back and see how I feel. And like, I feel fucking great. So
nice. Yeah. It's always good to have like that, like those times of clarity. Like, I would imagine for you, you know, like after you get like past the 3 days, it's like, why did I even do that in the first place? This is great. I'm waking up on time. Like, I feel good.
Dude, I feel good in the mornings. But it was my buddy's 30th birthday this weekend, and that was like,
oh, that was tough.
It was tough, but then it was good because I was like, at the end of the night, I was like, man, I feel good. I'm driving home. I fucking like, I remember like the conversations I had, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, this is amazing.
Isn't that some?
So, yeah, dude. Oh, yeah, man. So this is your first time on the show. I guess we should kind of start on the early days, if you don't mind talking about it. Cause
sure.
You know, I know like the band is from New York. You're from North Carolina.
Yeah.
And wasn't it as simple as like somebody calling you and be like, hey, do you want to move to New York to join the band as a bass player? Is that how it started?
Kind of like, what had happened was I was living in Greensboro. You know, there's that club there that, it used to be Ace's Basement.
Oh,
and
yeah, I remember Ace's Basement.
Yeah,
they used to take like the
Green
video of you when you were playing.
Yeah,
and
Joe ran that place. He was like 2 years ahead of me in high school, but like grew up like going to shows together and stuff. So I was living there, and I went to this show in Winston, and Sons of Abraham was supposed to be playing. You remember that band?
Of course I do, dude. I might have their record around here, actually. I love that band.
Yeah. So I'm going to see them. And when I get there, this guy, Phil Hanready's there, and Phil played in a band called Aerotype 11. And I knew him, I mean, you know, from going to shows and like hanging out and like things like that. And then, so once I got there, I asked him what he was doing there. I was like, oh man, I didn't know you guys were playing. He's like, oh no, we're not. I'm just filling in for my buddy Ed's band. And it was Taking Back Sunday, like the first incarnation of it. And, and then, so we ended up, actually Sons of Abraham ended up canceling. So they didn't play, but I stayed and watched them, and I hung out with Phil, and that's the first time I met Eddie. And we went out to eat afterwards, as you do. And then, like I feel like then we'd go to these shows, and like kind of like on the way home was this one Waffle House we would always go to. But
nice.
And then so we went there with everybody, and I got to talking with Eddie. I was in this other band, like this North Carolina band, which ironically enough was called Transit. So the first tour we did with those Transit guys, I'm like, I think you guys owe me some money or something. This is like, stole my name. But we got to talking, and then I was like, well, hey, like, I can play bass. Could I try out for your band? And Eddie said, yeah. So then, like, a couple weeks later, you know, my friend Chris and I drove up there, and I had a friend that had just, she had just moved to Brooklyn. So we stayed with her. And then, like, I took the train out to Long Island and tried out. And then, you know, he called me back like a week later and was like, hey, if you want to do it, come on up. Like, we have this show like in a month or something. And then, so I went back up, and then I just never came home. And that's, wow. Yeah. So,
but this band Transit, was that like your first kind of like local band you were in North Carolina, or were you in some other ones too?
I was in some other ones too. None of them were good, but we had a really fun time playing.
But were you playing, were you singing in that band, or were you playing bass?
I was singing and playing guitar in that band. And then the band before that, I was singing and playing bass. And then the band before that, I was just singing. So so then when I joined Taking Back Sunday, you know, I was just the bass player. And then the singer at the time, like he quit. Or it's like weird because the story is, and I don't remember exactly how it happened, because for me, what sticks out in my mind is that right when we needed a singer, Eddie just looked at me and said, okay, well, you and John are going to sing now. And we were like, okay. And then we got a bass player.
How so crazy is that?
Yeah. So then that's kind of, and then like I drove around, like Eddie had this Ford Windstar, like a soccer mom van. And then, so I got in the car and I was driving around, like singing along to the songs just to make sure I could do it, or of what we had recorded. And then that's when, Mark suggested we have Sean play bass. So then Sean came in and played bass, and then we started writing from there.
So do these recordings of like the old Taking Back Sunday singer and then you like replace, like do those demos exist anywhere?
Oh yeah. 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 They're Eddie actually found some of them, like a box of, you know, cause we just made them ourselves. And like he knew another guy on Long Island that would like print CDs, and like he'd known him for a long time, so he hooked it up. And then we'd be at Kinko's like doing the inserts. But so yeah, they exist. I don't know. Like there's some somebody actually brought one to some signing we did, and I was just like, I can't believe this person has this, because I was like 18 turning 19.
Sure.
And then like there's one song on it to where like I am doing the backups, and it pretty much just sounds like I'm doing like my best Chris Conley impression, like from Saves the Day.
Yeah.
And so things kind of progressed from there.
Were any of the songs the same? Like did you end up redoing any of the songs with the old singer? Because that would be really interesting to hear.
No, we like kind of like with those songs, like, well, like the first song we put together with when I was singing and Sean was playing bass was that Great Romances of the 20th Century song.
Yeah.
And then like that one felt like real different than the other songs we had been writing. So basically we only played those older songs like at just these random shows we had, you know, so we could still play, because and then through that process we were still writing newer ones, so we were kind of weeding out the ones with the older singer, and then so we could just play like the ones that we wrote with that kind of lineup, you know.
Yeah, It's crazy. Well, being like as a bass player and then coming into the band and becoming the singer, did you feel like a lead singer? Did you feel like the right place, or was there kind of a part?
No, I mean, I didn't like the first couple of shows. I just faced Mark the whole time, like stood yeah, in right. front of the kick drum and faced yeah. him because there's nothing to hide behind anymore, you know?
Sure, exactly.
And then just kind of like, I mean, you know, I'm sure it was the same thing with you, you know, like you get more comfortable over time, you know, like it's just one of those things, like you got to crawl before you can walk, you know, I guess.
Well, for me, I was in a punk rock band and I played guitar and sang. Mm-hmm. So there was always that, yeah, thing to hide behind. But what was always funny was when I started just this, you know, with Silverstein and I started just singing, I would always like, we'd get to a part in the song and I'd be like, oh, the bridge is coming. Like, what do I have to do? And then I'd realize I didn't have to do anything except sing.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, the part, I'd be like, oh, what part's coming next? But then I was like, it doesn't matter because I don't have to be there. You know what I mean? I don't have to play like the root note of the bass or the guitar or like, I can just, oh, it's the bridge. Okay, now I can just sing the words.
Yeah.
And that part was like
you don't have to worry about like finding the chord. You just have to find the one note and
right.
sing it.
and then I was like, at first I was like, man, this is like really easy. You know, I don't have to worry about anything. And I guess it wasn't until I felt that way for a long time, like that I had the easiest job. And then one day I remember I was talking to Anthony from Bayside. Mm-hmm. And I think I was like bummed out or something. And we were on tour and he's like, you know, you have the hardest job, right? And I kind of laughed it off like, I don't have the heart. What?
I don't have any gear.
And then I've thought about it a lot since. And I was like, I guess he's kind of right, you know, in like, everything else that you do is important. But at that time I never like thought about that stuff, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, like too, it like sounds like you're coming from more of like the technical side of like, okay, I'm in a room with my friends and then I don't want to mess this part up. So what do I have to do next?
Yeah.
And then,
yeah,
but,
I guess so.
And then, but then when you take that in front of people, you know, I mean, it becomes this other thing. I mean, it's everyone's, I think, job while playing live to be engaging, but it's kind of like it's like a lot of that is they're looking, like people are looking for you to provide, you know.
Of course. Well, that's interesting though, because I mean people know you as like a very like dynamic, over the top, like crazy lead singer, you know. That's how you're known as and have been known as that for a long time. But you know, you talk about, oh, I used to, you know, turn my back to the crowd and stuff, and now like, you know, you've got like things that are your own, like the mic swinging thing. Like that's your thing.
Yeah.
You know, and like where did that come from?
Because
you must have ripped that off from somebody, and now everyone's ripped it off from you.
Well, like one of my favorite, well, like one of the best live bands was at the Drive-In. You know, like
and
I had seen them so many times. Like we drove up, like when I was like 16 or 17, I remember some friends and I, we drove up to New Jersey because they were playing like two Jersey shows and one New York show. So we drove up to watch that. And then like things like that, and then going to different festivals, you know, when we were younger. And then so like just from seeing them and – oh, can you hold on a second?
Sorry. Yeah.
All right.
Per usual.
All right, see you, man. That was my buddy Seamus. He was driving by.
No worries.
But so yeah, from seeing that, like I think that, and then just kind of like being really insecure about like the way my voice sounded and just my ability to sing. Like I'm still getting a handle on it, you know. So then, like live, like knowing that and having that in my head, I'm like, well, I have to do something. So then, that's kind of where that came about, you know, like to try to
crazy. So it's almost like
just like these show tricks, you know what I mean? That's,
yeah,
all.
It was like a trick. It was like you were self-conscious about your voice, so you were trying to find a way to make a show of it without using your voice.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah. Or if I sang something that was so bad, maybe I could do that right after it and people would forget that I just sang this terrible note. So, like,
that's funny. That's amazing. Yeah, no, there is times I've had that happen too, and I've been like sick or something, and I've been like, I think I rocked out a little bit harder or whatever, just because I was trying to overcompensate, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But your voice, I mean, I guess like, I think you've improved so much over the years. Like I saw you guys play, what was it, like in Las Vegas what was that weird festival you guys do with the Used?
Oh,
I happened to be out there for it. My sister lives out there, and I came and saw you guys.
Yeah,
and I was like, holy shit.
Or
like,
it was in that field, like some weird field.
I don't remember the name of it, but it's like an outdoor festival.
Yeah, well, I remember that because some friends of mine came out from Texas because they had a buddy that had moved out there too, so they were all there. And I remember being in a kind of a large grassy field.
Yeah, but I remember seeing you, and I was like, holy shit, like you didn't miss a note. Like you were so on it. And like, you know, I mean, not to say that you must have caught me on a good night. come on. But I mean, not to say in the early days, like you were terrible or anything, but like you've definitely improved
there. Yeah, man. Like there's shows I remember, you know, like that. Yeah. Like, or like for some reason, like my ear, I guess just hadn't caught up or with that insecurity, you know, like I would like just kind of stick to what worked and that was just kind of belting everything out. So
yeah, yeah.
So then over the years, you know, like I feel like it's kind of like I've like found like, or just I just understand how that all works, you know, both within my body and then like how to get the right notes out and things. And it's like fun too. Like I like feel like a big thing, even with the singing, and like I'm sure like it's happened with you too, is that like as you get older, you know, like your musical horizons grow. So then, see, because I know for me for a long time, I was like, oh, if it's not punk rock or if it's not on this label, then I don't like it.
Yeah.
And then, which was just the worst. Cause like looking back, I'm like, man, like there's so much music that I missed out on. Cause I was being stubborn, you know, like I thought I was being like a cool guy.
That's so funny to me that you say that, because I had the same, like literally for like 3 years, I only listened to double time fast punk rock.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, if this record doesn't have at least 3 double time songs, it's not for me. I like literally felt that way. And I missed out on so much stuff and I was so close-minded. And even mainstream music, like I was like, oh, it's on a major label or it's on the radio. Like, forget it. I would never give it a chance.
Absolutely, man. I was, yeah, same way.
So yeah, I think it totally is. I think younger people these days don't feel that way, which is good.
Yeah. And then
for the most
part, now it's just easier to kind of stumble across things and to like find these new things that like people, like, I almost feel like people don't like, I like identify as strongly with like one thing, you know, like they don't find the one thing and say, well, this is who I am. So this is what I'm sticking to.
Right.
Cause there's so much out there and it's right at your fingers, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're on the mic swinging, conversation kind of, I want to ask you about that time we were playing a show together in the UK.
Oh, and I knocked Matt out.
Cause I was telling somebody on another episode about that. I think it was it Jake? Yeah. Jake from August Prince Red. He's doing some mic swinging, and I was like, have you had any like crazy injuries? He's like, no, it's been pretty good considering how like wild I am. And I was like, no, don't do the lasso around the head, because that's how it got Matt, right?
Yeah, well, like what happened with that one was that it was like at this point to where everybody, including myself, kind of knew like around the time something might happen, you know, like, oh, well like there's a break in the singing here, so maybe just look out.
Okay.
And then just that day, what had happened was we'd been doing like kind of like a smaller like UK club tour, you know? And like, then we go to that and it's this giant stage. So I'm like, oh, I'm going to just see like I was just being cocky, you know, I just wanted to see like how big I could go.
You could push the limits, right?
Yeah. So then, and I knew, cause I felt so, like, I can't even tell you how bad I felt. And then, like, even thinking about it now, like my stomach drops, you know, like.
Oh, yeah, it's horrible.
But so I just was walking out to the front of the stage, and then so I just kind of tossed it behind me. And then I, like, felt, well, I heard in my ears just this, and then the cord went slack. So I was like, oh shit. And then I turn around and he's just like laid out on the ground bleeding. And then they like brought him off the stage, bandaged him up. And then he finished the show, which was amazing. Cause he was like, yeah, I mean, I knocked him out.
Like, but, you know, I recount the story a little bit differently. And I don't know if you remember this, but you know, it was like the Give It a Name festival where you did like the two shows.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you remember, but the night before,
Mark's kick
drum pedal broke. And I remember you guys stopped. And I remember you guys had like a mini blow up after you got off, being like, "We never stop.
Oh, dude.
We never stop."
Yeah.
So then Matt gets laid out, and I just thought it was so like, I mean, it's not funny at all. Like he, you know, I mean, he was okay, I guess. So it's, you know, we can laugh about it now. But I remember Fred, you know, they're carrying Matt off, and Fred's just like walks up to the mic and is like, "What's up, London?"
Yeah, it's like
just starts like riffing on like noodling around. It was amazing.
Or like, yeah, just trying to keep the thing going. No, but I remember that night before too, because we did get in this giant argument, and Mark was like, "Well, what was I supposed to do? Like that's never happened before. I didn't know. Like, so I just stopped because I couldn't keep playing." And then I was like, "No, you just keep playing without the kick drum until blah blah blah."
Yeah.
And like then we got in this big fight, and then like that, but then everything was fine. And then of course that happens, and then so it's like us stopping, and like that whole fight was like completely forgotten. So because now we're dealing with this other like thing that happened that was way worse. But that was a crazy thing. Well, because then like right when we were done, he went to the hospital and then like got all these stitches. And then so I just remember like waiting for him back at the hotel, or like because they just took him like lickety split, you know?
Right. Yeah.
And then like waiting back at the hotel, like, "Oh God, are you okay? Like, what's going on?" And it was pretty rough, but
yeah, man,
he was a good sport about it, I guess.
Yeah. So you guys were on Victory Records, mm-hmm. and we were too.
Mm.
And you guys
are on Hopeless too, as we are.
Well, we were on Hopeless. We're not now.
Oh, you're not on Hopeless.
We did two records on Hopeless. We actually did an extra one for them too, and we're on Rise Records.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah.
But I love Hopeless. Eric's the man. Lewis is the man.
Yeah, man. Eric, you know, he used to tour with Count the Stars, so he was like,
of course, yeah.
So like we've known him. Yeah, I mean since then. I mean that was like early like 2004 or something. No, but not like 2002 or three.
No, I know, it's funny. Yeah, like Dave Shapiro and Eric like slept at my house, you know, like on my floor, and now they're like running the music business.
Yeah. So you know, crazy.
It's super funny. All that stuff, how it all kind of comes around. But I want to ask you a few things about the Victory days. Cause it was just so wild, you know, it was like a hardcore label. Like when we signed to it, it was still a hardcore label, you know, and they'd branched out. And like, I remember Thursday had the success. I mean, when you guys got going on Victory, did you guys think you were going to have like that kind of success like Thursday?
No, I mean, we hoped, you know, but that was kind of one of those things like you hope, like, I mean, it's the same kind of like you hope you'll sprout wings, you know, like it was kind of that realistic.
Right, right.
But I remember when we first signed, like at like first people were like, "Oh, well, this is just another band that sounds like Thursday." And I was like, "Well, I don't think we sound like them at all." And then that was right around time we got to play some shows with them. And then I remember it being kind of like weird at first, being like thinking that they were like sizing us up or something, which wasn't the case. We were, or like just for me, I was just like, "Oh God, these people think we're ripping them off, and we're not ripping them off. So where do we go from here?" Like, but that was all happening.
Yeah, people thought
that
about us too, though. People thought that we were like a new, you know, another Thursday, especially being on Victory. And
yeah.
I guess we were closer to Thursday than you guys were, but Thursday wasn't an influence at all of our band.
Or like, I don't think you guys sound like them at all either.
Yeah.
You know, like,
I don't know.
Like,
I don't know. It's weird though, how people like want to categorize things and say things or rip offs of other things. Just, I think sometimes just to say it.
Yeah. True.
But yeah, I mean, Victory obviously was, you know, I mean, how was that experience?
Well, I will say that if it wasn't for Victory, you know, like I don't think we would have gotten to where we are. So we do owe them quite a bit in that respect, you know, because they really,
sure.
Me and like that, like I just don't think things would have happened the same, like if we weren't with them at that time. And but other than that, man, that was just it was something else working with that guy.
Did you have the billboard chart bonuses in your contract? Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
we had this thing in our contract when we signed, and it was like, if our records ever appeared on the Billboard Top 200, we would get like a amount of money. It was like, I don't know, like $5,000 or something. So it happened, right? And we were like, when we signed, we were like, that'll never happen.
Yeah.
Never be in the Billboard Top 200. Like, that's just crazy. And then, you know, we did our second record and our third record, and we were like, hey, Tony, you know, can we get that money? And he's like, nope, it only applies to the first album. Like, it doesn't say that in the contract.
He's an interesting businessman. I'll give him that.
He is an interesting businessman, but he knows how to sell records, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And he did a great job for us. And do you talk to him anymore?
No. But anytime we're in Chicago, I call and invite him to the show. And
we do that too. He came out to our 10-year anniversary.
No way.
Yeah.
Incredible that he came.
It was awesome. Him and Delphine came out.
Yeah.
And it got wild. He was partying. So it was great.
Dang. Yeah. He hasn't, he never, he hasn't accepted our invitation yet. Like, do you remember like the first time I did it? Like, our lawyer got this crazy email from him saying, like, he said some like, I have my finger on the pulse of the Chicago music scene and blah, blah, like basically implying that like by inviting him to the show, I was threatening him. And I was like, no, I called you and left you a message that said, hey, man, it's been a long time. We're in Chicago. You should come to the show. We'll have you on the list. Like,
yeah. So a little overdramatic on his
part. Oh, my God. So we just had a big laugh about that because we were like, well, I mean, it's kind of what we expected.
Absolutely. So after Victory, though, you guys moved to a major label.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys managed to do three records? Was it with Warner Brothers?
Yeah. Three for Warner. And then it turned out that they only want to keep bands that are selling records.
Oh, so. Yeah. I've heard about that. That's a thing that's a major label thing, right?
Yeah. So there's so like, not to say that we weren't selling records, we were, but just not up to the standard, you know, that they
it's crazy. They want, I don't even know what they want, especially at that time. It's like, I remember, I think it was Anne Berlin had like, they had like the number one song on like, you know, active rock radio or whatever. And they were, I think they got dropped, you know?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Crazy stuff. Well, like too. And then for us, like our whole team at Warner, you know, like by the time our self-titled record came about, nobody was left. So
sure.
So like it was kind of like we didn't have our people there anymore, you know, like it just felt a little strange. But that whole time was awesome. You know, like if we hadn't have done that, we wouldn't have probably gotten to work with Eric Valentine and like things like that. And that was just like a big highlight for me.
But how did you guys have like the classic major label pressure of having to come up with radio songs and singles and all that? Or were they really cool about it?
Well, yes and no. Like we'll say like with writing anything, you know, like we put just an extreme amount of pressure on ourselves, you know. I'm sure you've been through that too. There's just to make sure that each song is the best it could be.
Sure.
There was like kind of like I remember during the like the self-titled record and then or even New Again, like before that, like just having more of like the like, oh, well, maybe you should work on this one more. Maybe you should. And that got a little frustrating. But for the most part, we just did our thing, you know.
That's cool. Yeah, no, I've heard like horror stories about them coming in and like wanting to change your lyrics or being like, no, you need to write like we need a 3-minute like pop song, you know, radio song.
Or like, yeah, it was never anything as like specific as that.
Okay, well, that's good.
So
cool.
Yeah.
So I guess I read somewhere that you were scared of Taking Back Sunday becoming a quote unquote like nostalgia act.
Yeah.
And I kind of read it's important for you guys to like obviously continue to put out, you know, new music and relevant music and do relevant tours and all that. So I kind of wonder why you decided to do the 10-year Tell All Your Friends tour.
Well, at first it was kicking and screaming for me.
it was. So you were kind of against it at the beginning.
Yeah, because I was just worried that it would come across as this nostalgia thing. You know, there's a lot of people that are kind of like capitalizing on that. And then with all those like bullshit emo nights and things that are happening, like it's right. just like it like starts to become a novelty, and it's something much different to me. And again, like I know you can't like really control like your perceived, you know, like to the like yeah. to the outside world, but I just didn't want to do anything that would throw us into that category, you know. So that's why, like, at first I was real apprehensive about it. And then, but then once we got to talking about it more and more, it became this thing of like, well, we don't have to do it to where we just do the record. So that's why we did the other acoustic shows that went with it. Cause then we could kind of reinterpret and change certain things that like,
yeah, yeah.
Or like about those songs, you know, that maybe we weren't happy with. And then two, like that record changed the course of all of our lives, you know? So it was kind of more of like paying tribute to like that fact, you know, like I had to look at it like that.
Well, also you had the original band back together.
Yeah.
And that was still at the time you guys had already, I think you guys had already put out the record, the self-titled record, right?
Yeah.
With the original lineup, but it still felt like it was kind of it was still like a new thing that you guys were the original lineup again.
Yeah. Yeah. Like we had just, cause we did that like 10 year thing, like kind of like right when the record cycle for the self title was like winding down, you know?
Yeah.
So, and with the timing and just that it fell at like that 10 year mark and all that, like it just figured, all right, we'll give it a try. And it went great, you know, but yeah, still that's another thing that worries me, you know, cause we've been around for a while and then I know like even for myself with certain bands, you know, like after a while I just kind of lose interest. But with a lot of kind of bands like that, like I feel like what happens is their music kind of hits a point and then just stays the same, and then it's just like an extension of one record over and over and over again, and that's when I lose interest. And I don't think on any level that that's what we're doing.
No.
But also I feel that if there's like that like preconceived like notion of like this nostalgia thing, it'll change the way that people hear your new music, hear what you're working on. And it's like, there's like when we're working on that stuff, you know, like we're not lazy about it, you know, like it's like the most important thing happening. So, or in our lives, like to us at that moment, you know? So then I just don't want to get discounted when I'm like putting everything I have into this thing that I'm working on.
Oh yeah. So. I totally get that, man. But you know what? Making records, and I don't know how many you guys have made now. What are you guys made? Like 6 records or something?
6. Yeah.
And we just put out our 7th, if you can believe it.
Wow.
It gets harder. That's the thing. It gets harder and harder to make records. And I feel like you have to put in that work. You have to work harder each record. And I think that's why so many bands, moving forward, they fall flat, because I think they don't, there's more going on in their lives, you know, adult shit, and yeah. they don't spend that time that they really need to.
There's definitely like a certain amount of reckless abandon you can have, like when you're doing your first couple records, because what else do you have going on?
Sure. Like, yeah.
There's, but man, like, I don't think, see, cause we're writing now, like we just did, like, and the only thing that's harder about it is that we don't all live in the same place. So like other than that, like it's like going more smoothly now than it ever has.
And is the direction at all similar, or are you guys kind of taking some inspiration from some other places, or how's that going with the new stuff?
It's well, great. Like there's been these moments as we're doing it to where we're listening back and I'm like, I can't believe this is our band. Holy shit. Like, yeah. So like when there's moments like that, you know, like it's like you start to feel like you're on the right track. But I mean, like I kind of like what I was saying earlier, like as you get a little bit older or a little more open-minded, your tastes change, you know, and then so I like think that there's a lot of that you can see kind of in like this newer stuff that
we're doing. There's like a broader range of influences, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah.
So,
yeah, well, you got John and Sean back. That must be, I mean, now I guess you guys are probably used to having them in the band. It's like they never left. Does that feel that way?
Yeah. Yeah, it does. Until I talk about the times when they weren't in the band, and then I'm like, oh yeah, that happened. Like, but
yeah. Well, I don't want to ask you, I won't ask you verbatim, like what happened, but I mean, it must like, I mean, you guys, they left at like really when the band was hitting, you know, coming to the peak.
Yeah.
And that really changed your trajectory, you know? And like, I mean, there must be a lot of regrets. I mean, both probably on, you know, your side and on their side about what happened.
You know, when I look back now, there's definitely like things I wish, like, or even for me that I would have handled differently. But I like also think that had that not have happened, you know, things would be very much different. And then like, I don't like for better or worse, like, I don't really think I would change them, you know?
Right.
Like just like saying that with the knowledge of everything that's happened since, and then where we're at now. So, cause there was like, I mean, like even through that, you know, I mean, that was a big, I mean, like it was pretty much all of our 20s, you know, were spent like doing that. And then like, so there's, and there's a lot, I think, just in anybody's life, like that you learn during those years, you know, you're kind of like learning how to be an adult. And then, so like all those lessons I learned during that time, I really needed to learn at that time, you know?
Right.
So.
But were there times during, like, I mean, I heard that you and John didn't speak for like 8 years or something.
Oh yeah.
Were there times like in the middle of that where you were just like tempted to just pick up the phone and be like, this is stupid. Like maybe not that we should be in a band together again, but like maybe we should at least talk this out and be civil and maybe be friends again.
Yeah. There were definitely times that I thought that. And like, I always kept up with what he was doing, you know? And then, but it was still like things just, it just never really felt right until we, around that time, we finally did start talking.
And how
again.
Did it, how did it come about that you guys decided, let's do it again. Let's patch it up.
Well, Mark, our drummer, you know, like things weren't going that well, like with the lineup we had, like, it was just like, even
with
on
like
that,
Matt Fozzi and
and there was like, we did like Soundwave or something. And then like, we weren't even talking Eddie, Mark and I were, but then it was like everyone was very, divided. And then we knew that we just couldn't keep doing that. Cause it just wasn't healthy for anybody. And then, that's right around the time where Mark was like, look, like I've been talking with Sean a lot. Like we should just try this, like, and just see what happens. And I was like, well, I mean, I'm going to have to talk to John. I haven't talked to him in so long. And but like last time we did talk, it didn't end on the best terms. So, I mean, what's that going to be like? And then he's like, look, dude, just call him. So then nice. I did. And here we are, you know.
Cool. That's cool. Well, one thing I always like thought was interesting is like I saw the first time I saw you guys with the, you know, original lineup again was at the 10-year anniversary lineup. And I think you guys came out. You didn't start with the record. You played like, you know, some other songs.
Yeah.
So obviously those songs.
Yeah, see, that was a big thing for me too on that tour was I was like, I didn't want to go out and play Tell All Your Friends and then add in some like, but like the other songs. Cause it's like I want to make it very clear that like, this is what we've been working on. And like, this is where our heads are, you know?
Right. Absolutely. Well, when we did our 10-year tour, I took a page out of your book too, and we did that too. We started with, you know, some of the greatest hits, and then we played the record, whole record at the end.
Yeah, yeah, man, I think that's the way to go.
Yeah, I do too. But what struck me is I remember specifically with Sean is I don't remember what you guys started with, but he was just like going fucking mental,
yeah,
like rocking out to a song that he had no part of the writing process for, and maybe at the time hated your guts, you know, when it came out.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
you know, and I was just like seeing him rocking out and I'm like, that must've been so weird to be like, all right, like we're a band again, but you know, those, three records
records.
Yeah.
We're going to play.
You're
going
to have to learn those songs. And that must've been like a weird, thing.
Yeah, it was. I definitely remember that being a bit strange at first, because we were doing it in Mark's parents' basement, and when we were just going to start learning everything again, there was definitely a few times to where, like, when we were just working out little kinks, like, oh, hey, can you take it for a walk right there? Or hey, no, it goes to the lower D there, you know, like things like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, but even like during that process was a bit strange, but then I actually think it was good. 'Cause there was like something about it to where, like, through that process, you know, we're kind of like learning how to play with one another again. And sure. then, which I think made like that self-titled record that much stronger, you know, because there's something kind of like there's something else to work on rather than like any kind of pressure of like, hey, we got to write the best song we possibly can right now. Like, know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
But it was definitely funny because there, like, I remember the first time, I don't remember what song it was, but like Sean was really prepared. And like John was kind of prepared. So like the first time we like go to play, like, I think it was like that, What's It Feel Like to Be a Ghost, that first song off Aloud, mm-hmm. an hour or something. And it was just like, we kind of get through it. And then we all have this moment where we look around the room like, all right, we got to sit down with this a lot more. Like, then it was good too. Cause we spent all this time like getting everything perfect, you know? So then there's also this whole other, like time to where we're all in the room together and we're all joking around and interacting and coexisting, you know, and like we have this one thing we're focusing on, but then through that, like, a lot of the blanks were getting filled in, you know, from all those years we weren't together, both personally and musically, you know.
Right. That's cool. I wonder, like, because I mean, if it was me, if I was John, mm-hmm. you know, there's no way I would be going out and listening to Where You Want to Be, you know, like, I probably would pretend that record didn't exist, you know? And did he know it? Did he admit to like listening to it?
Or like,
did he never have heard some of those songs?
Or like, no, he had just never heard some of those songs. You know, he was like, well, yeah, I heard like the radio ones, you know, you couldn't get away from those for a little while. But other than that, like, he hadn't ever like sat down with the records, you know? I mean, that's not something that, with the Stray Light Run stuff, you know, like, I would like see what they were doing, or like I'd like see like that, like, on MTV2, you know, they were playing it a lot at the time, so I'd see it on there, but like I never sat down and like,
no, really, you're not gonna jam it in your car or anything.
Yeah. So right. I think it was the same thing for him, you know.
Sure,
but
sure.
Yeah, but maybe he can be your next guest, you know, and you could ask him, because he probably has a pretty funny outlook on the whole thing.
I would love to. Yeah, can you set that up for me? Give him my number. I would love to talk to him.
He lives just down the street. I'll just take a walk over there.
That's right, yeah. You guys, I heard that you guys live, like, you guys go from not talking for 8 years, and now you're buying houses on the same street. How funny is that?
Yeah, they're, man, it's like strange how things work out. But yeah, he's like right, just two blocks down.
Cool, man. So you guys, you personally, you did a solo song.
Oh, yeah.
And a video, and nothing kind of came about that. What was that about?
Well, Rob Hitt, he has that label, you know, that I Surrender. And then he had this idea. He wanted to take four guys that kind of were coming up around relatively the same time, and then put out a record like of the four different songs with four different guys, you know?
Yeah.
And he was talking to Anthony about it, Ranieri from Bayside. Yep. And then I guess Anthony was like, oh, hey, you should call Adam about that. And then so we did. And then it like worked, you know, because we had done tours with Midtown. So then like I already knew Rob, so it was real comfortable saying. So he asked if I wanted to do it. And then I was like, I do. Let me see what I can put together. Because normally how it works is anything I have on my own is like, I get it, like, I call them my one-third songs, because they're like one-third of them is like right where I want it, but then it just kind of falls apart. And I think it's that thing of like, you're your own worst critic, you know, so it's like hard for me to kind of like like when I'm just doing it myself and I don't have the other voices saying, no, it's good, you can, let's move on from that part, or like things like that. Like I like kind of find it hard to like not self-police myself so hard.
Okay. Yeah.
But, so yeah. So then I basically like, I had had this one sitting around for a while and then it was just a matter of finishing it. So then I finished it and I'm really proud of it, 'cause it has the best worst harmonica solo in it. Like I did it in my garage, and then like I must have spent like probably like 5 or 6 hours trying to get it like to see like what kind of melody would work and can I play it on the piano and
yeah,
and like things like that. And then I remember showing it to my brother, and he's just laughing, and then I'm like, right, it's the best worst harmonica solo you've ever heard. And then so it was I was pretty proud of that.
What's the song called, so people can check it out? Because I know there's a video for it and everything.
Yeah, it's called Because It Works. And actually,
Adam Lazara or Adam Lazara?
My family says Lazara, but a lot of people say Lazara too.
Okay,
I'm kind of impartial at this point in my life.
Good to know. I wanted to the clarity, because I've heard it so many different ways. So yeah. I'm going to go with Lazara. I'm going to be an honorary member of your family.
Oh, sweet. Done. Well, welcome. It's funny, like any kind of like certificate or like soccer trophy or anything like that, it's like there's no two that are spelt alike. Like there's all these right. different ways that the name is spelt. So
two Z's, one R, right?
Yeah.
There you go. I got the spelling. I just didn't know the pronunciation. Good. But you know, it's amazing with last names, man. Like my last name is Told, which you'd think is like impossible to fuck up, but it's like people fuck it up all the time.
Yeah.
I get Todd. I get Todd all the time. I get Toll all the time. So
I wonder if it's because when people see it, they're like, Told, no way, that's too easy. It's got to be something. Yeah.
There's some kind of trick here.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
But it's
go ahead. Yeah.
Oh, like, no, I was just going to say earlier when I asked you to hold on for a second, because my buddy was driving by. That's my friend Seamus that did the video for that. And
right on.
And like, because he just lives up the street as well. And he, like I wanted to have something to go with it. And he's like, oh, why don't we just make something? Because we were talking about it one night. And then we did. So that's how that came about. Because kind of like every Tuesday night in our neighborhood, like with kind of like our friends that are around, we have like this potluck with everybody. And then,
oh, nice.
So then that's kind of how the video worked out too. Cause the end of it is just in my buddy Will's backyard, and everybody was going to be there anyway. So it just kind of all worked out.
There you go. Perfect. You don't have to pay for actors or anything.
Yeah. Right.
So was that kind of like that was just a one-off thing? You don't plan on doing any more, solo work?
There's no set plans. No, just cause I feel like just between like stuff with Taking Back Sunday and then getting home, and then cause I feel so bad being away from the boys. And then so
sure.
like,
yeah.
So when I get home, it's like, there's a lot more I should be doing, but I really just hang out with them all the time. So, it's like, I haven't really found a way to balance that time out yet. It's one of the things I'm working on. So,
well, that's the toughest part. And I'm not married and I don't have any kids. So I'm still like, I guess I'm still the 22-year-old version of myself in some ways. but it must be hard, because obviously you have to go on the road to, I mean, make money, provide for your family so that, so you put food on the table, as they say.
Yeah.
But at the same time, when you're doing that, you're not actually with them. So that must be a really hard balance.
It is. Well, like too. And I mean, even like money aside or anything, I mean, I love doing it.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. There's certain fulfillment you personally. Right.
So like there's like, or like if I wasn't doing it in some capacity, I feel like there would be a big part of me that would be really uncomfortable with that just cause I love it. So it's like this like kind of like push and pull thing, and then so all that to say, yes, it is, it can get very difficult being gone. So I think that's why I'm not better at multitasking when it comes to like writing more of like kind of my own songs, and then like being a dad, and then also being in Taking Back Sunday.
Right. It can be a lot to juggle, I guess.
Yeah. Well,
nice.
So far, it seems like it.
Yeah. Okay, I got to ask you about one more thing. I live in Toronto.
Yeah.
And you guys were actually on an episode of Degrassi.
Yeah.
or Degrassi, as we say here. Mm. That's kind of a Lazara thing. Degrassi or Degrassi? How did that come about?
Well, when I was growing up, kind of like right around like middle school time, like in like health class, they would play episodes of Degrassi. So
like the original, like the Degrassi Junior High, I guess it was, right?
Yeah.
With like Joey and Snake and Spike. Spike, yep.
So I grew up watching that, and then my roommate Angel. Oh, you know Angel too.
Angel, I know Angel. Yeah.
Yeah. So we lived together for a while, and then he was or like he had got the old Degrassis like on like DVD, and then so we were watching that a lot because it was like because he would watch it when he was younger too. So then it was this thing of like, oh man, let's watch this together. And then we found out that there was a new Degrassi. So then we like kind of started watching that, and then this episode came on that Kevin Smith was on. And Angel's
right,
like,
yeah, because he's like a crazy super fan. That's right.
Yeah. So then Angel was like, dude, you should try to get on Degrassi. I bet you could do it. And then I was like, I don't know. So then we reached out to him, and they were like, yeah, we'll write you into an episode. It'll be great.
Amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah. So
because I actually didn't even know that until the other day. I was talking to a friend of mine, and she's like, you got to ask him about Degrassi. Like, how did that happen? Because I guess it was like a 2-part episode, and they named the episode after one of your songs and everything.
Yeah. Man, it was,
that's so cool.
It was a trip too. Cause we filmed it on this day off. And then like through that time, like I've been going back and forth with Amanda, and that's who played Spike. And then she was on, she played, cause you know, like in those episodes, like she was the character that got pregnant real young.
Yeah. Yeah. And, well, the guy that got her pregnant was named Shane. So of course
I
remember.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, so in the new series, you know, like the reboot, like her daughter's one of the characters, and she's also on the show. So,
right. Yep.
So then like started going back and forth with her a lot. So then we ended up, we went there and just kind of became friends with all those folks. And it was just a real like fun thing.
That's cool. So, no, one time was at like a, what's called Canada's Wonderland. It's like a Six Flags kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
And I was in line waiting for a roller coaster, and Joey Jeremiah was in front of me.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, it's like weird when you wait in line on a roller coaster, sometimes you get like this sort of camaraderie with other people, cause you're waiting for so long.
Or like you're in it together at that point.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it was like an hour long wait or something. And after like 25 minutes of like, you know, being too nervous to say anything, I was like, are you Pat? That's his like real name. And I had to look it up on my phone cause I didn't know. I was like, are you Pat? And he's like, yes, I am. And it's just like, big fan.
Yeah. It's like, so, I see you're here and I'm here and can't go anywhere.
Yep. Now that I'm friends now. And I'm sure he was thrilled that his big fan was, behind him for the next, 40 minutes, you know?
Yeah. Oh man. So that whole time, it's kind of one of those things. It's like, what do we say now?
Exactly. Yep, it was probably his nightmare, but hey.
That's funny.
Well, man, I won't take up any more of your time unless there's anything else you want to talk to me about or plug or whatever, but...
No, man, I'm thanks for taking the time to...
Thank you for taking the time.
Talk with me.
I'd love to do it again, too. Maybe when you guys have a new record out, we'll chat again about that and about other stuff going on.
Yeah, man, hopefully that'll be sooner than later. You know, like I said, we're working on it now. So,
do you know who you're recording with or anything like that?
We have some ideas kicking around, but it's not like nothing's written in stone yet, you know, because it's kind of like we're almost ready to kind of like finalize that conversation. So like I think we need like another one or two songs and then and then we'll start.
Well, I love the last record. I thought it was really strong, and I loved Flicker Fade, and I loved
thanks, man.
Better Home and Gardens, great song.
Thanks.
Heavy subject matter, I think, but...
Yeah, it's like funny, too, with that one, like, because I was like, all right, either nobody's going to get this, or it's going to be, because it's not like, I mean, I don't know, it's like some grown-up shit, you know?
But
it's some grown up shit. Yeah. Well, that's about your previous marriage, right?
Yeah. Well, we weren't married, but we were almost married.
Oh yeah, like, yeah. Sorry, like your previous engagement relationship, I should say.
Yes, it was. That was something. But like, yeah. Well, like two. You know, when you're being like, we just feel kind of naked at like a certain point. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's one of those to where like that's how I felt. So, or like,
but now
like
it's
broadcasting
all,
that to people.
But now everything's coming up, Milhouse.
Yeah. Hey man, can't beat it.
We got the new year. The New Year's resolution is a very general be better.
Yeah.
Which is good. And I'm sure your boys are enjoying their Christmas presents and new Taking Back Sunday record coming soon. And I'm stoked.
Yeah, man. Well, hey, thanks for, yeah, yeah. Thanks for taking time.
Thank you, man. We'll do it again. And sorry?
Oh, no, I was just trailing off on the sentence. See, I've stuttered since I was a little kid. So sometimes that just happens.
That's okay. But, it's funny. Yeah. It's funny when you talk to people. Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of the worst too. I'm a stutterer and I fall over my words all the time. And then people are like, but you're like, that's what you do, man. That's what you do. You talk and you sing. And it's like, ah, fuck, whatever. I'm not good at anything.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Like I need to learn how to fix cars or something. That would make more sense.
Yeah. Why don't they teach that in school? I hate that, man. It's like, I want to know how to fix a car. I don't want to know how to fucking do accounting.
Yeah.
What's more practical in the real world?
Well,
maybe accounting is practical. I don't know. I don't want to know how to do algebra.
Yeah. Well, I would say the mechanic thing is more hands-on, or as far as you're literally getting your hands dirty there.
There you go.
But
well, but I digress. All right, man. Hey, thanks for doing it.
Cool. Yeah, man. I hope you have a good rest of your day.
You too, man.
All right. Peace.
All the best. We tried to wrap that interview up like three times. We kept saying goodbye and we kept talking, but it was a very natural conversation me and Adam had, and it was a lot of fun. And I hope I can get him back on the show. And also, it would be great to have John Nolan on the show as well to get his take on everything that happened. Next Monday, we'll be back with another episode of this podcast. Make sure you're subscribed if this is your first time listening to the show. It's real simple. Just, you know, if you got an iPhone, go to your podcast, hit subscribe. If you got an Android, maybe it's Stitcher. Maybe you're on a computer. I don't know. But subscribe, because we'll be here every Monday. And we got some great guests coming up. And since I always finish the podcast with the tune, this week was actually pretty hard to pick one. There's so many great Taking Back Sunday songs. And I thought about throwing a classic. Like, I'm sure you guys, if you guys don't know them, check them out. But, you know, Make Damn Sure, Cute Without the E, Decade Under the Influence. But I decided I would pick my personal favorite Taking Back Sunday song. And a bit of an obscure one. You know, it wasn't a single or anything, I don't think. But here is my jam, Bonus Mosh Part 2 on Lead Singer Syndrome. We'll see you next week.